Good morning, everyone. Let's open with a word of prayer. Father God, we just thank you for this glorious day which you have made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. We thank you for all that you've done for each one of us, and we look forward to all that you're going to continue to do. In Jesus' precious name, amen. I was actually spending some time with God, which I like to do before I come in here and share with y'all. Typically, I'm prepared, in other words, what I'm going to share, in most cases by Thursday. But I like to spend some time with God so that he's preparing me. I'm already prepared with what I'm going to share. I just want to spend some time with God. And I actually found it, in a way, kind of funny as I was spending some time with God this morning, thinking about the number of times that I address God in a certain way. And God understands this. God doesn't have a first name and a last name. But almost all the time that I'm talking to God, somewhere it comes out to where it's almost like he has a first name for me. And it's amazing. I just keep, God just continually amazes me. So I'm always going, what an amazing God. So to me, he almost has a first name. And it almost kind of struck me as funny this morning, the number of times that's how I go to him. Because I even thought about it, I go, well, should I be amazed? He tells me he's going to do all of this in his word, but still when he does it, I'm constantly amazed. Like as he gives me the words to share with you. I think I shared with y'all when Pastor Bill asked me to start this series, and we talked about the topic that God laid on my heart. He says, well, that sounds like you should teach for about 8 weeks. And I'm thinking, two or three maybe? And yet God just keeps downloading, and so it just amazes me as he does it. It's so good of what he's showing me so that I can share it with you. It's just one way I'm constantly amazed. But we did have a one-week break in there in that I was out in Colorado last week sharing with Church of the Word International Church out there. I enjoyed my time out there, ate lots of food, gained 12 pounds in 13 days over Thanksgiving and between there. So I take this time from Thanksgiving to New Year's just to eat everything in sight, and then the rest of the year I lose what I gain during this time. So I don't let it bother me. I just enjoy the season is all I'm saying. And so I enjoyed it a lot while I was gone. And it's good to be back. Now, just a little refresher. Each week, I only share for a couple minutes where we left off. So you've got a starting point. So 2 weeks ago, we wrapped up with the last two pieces of armor that you would put on in putting on the armor. And that would be in verse 17, Ephesians 6:17, where it says that we take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And that's where we ended. Now, I know as I started sharing this back, 7 weeks ago or so, I mentioned to you that according to my recollection, and I stress that because there is a good chance that someone that shared about the full armor of God in my life did go on and share more in this chapter. All I can say is every time I remember it being taught, it was ended at verse 17 because you had the whole armor of God on. But as I even began to prepare this, God said, don't stop there. Because if you do, you're stopping short of telling the whole story. Okay? And if you remember back when we started, I said, if you want to see what God showed me, go to the end before we get there. Now, how many of you are the type of people that like to read the end of the book, you know, before the beginning so you can know what's going on? Yeah, I knew there would be a few. I don't like doing that. I like being surprised at the end. But I was thinking about, well, I wonder how many of them all went jumped down to verse 18 so they could see what it said next, which isn't a bad thing. So maybe you have. But that's what we're going to start in today, is at verse 18. And verse 18 says this, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for the saints. Now, I can tell you, I've said this a few times, I'm not looking to make any of you Greek scholars. God will often lead me to look at a specific word as I'm doing a study to say, hey, you're missing something. If you go back and see this, you'll get a better idea of really what I'm trying to say to you. So it's not like I look up every word all the time, But I can tell you on this verse in particular, he more or less had me looking up every single word. And that's not normal for me, is all I will say. So we're going to look through this verse in quite detail so that we don't miss anything that's being said here. And we'll start with that very first word, praying. Okay? Now, what's interesting is the fact that it's the first word in the verse. And here's why. For us in the English language, when we want to put emphasis on a specific item or topic, we use the word more than once in the sentence. That shows emphasis in the English language. In the Greek language, the way they show emphasis is by moving the word that they want to emphasize to an earlier position in the verse than would otherwise be to show that it's emphasis. In other words, you could say, after putting on the armor of God, you should pray all the time, and that would be a normal sentence. But the Greek starts it out praying. Why? Because the focus and the emphasis is on praying, okay? So this is done intentionally. This is how it starts because they're showing focus. Here's the focus of what's being shown here. So after you put on this full armor of God, you're not done, you've just started. Because you've put it all on so that the evil one and the spiritual hosts of wickedness will not be able to attack you in such a way that your prayers are unsuccessful, or in other words, maybe you stop before you should, or he's able to convince you that your prayers are not doing any good, so you might as well give up. So that's why this whole armor is being put on. But the key is once the armor's on, what are you supposed to do? It's literally in this very first word, praying. Okay? That's what you're to do once the whole armor's on. Now, there's a whole lot more in here. The next word is always. Okay. Quite self-explanatory. I actually like how the one person, actually one translation of the Bible puts this. But I do want to share one more thing about that word praying first. When you look up the Greek word used there specifically, we read the word praying, but there are different words, Greek words used for praying in the Bible. And this one, which I'm sure I will butcher if I try to say it, but let's see. Prosiokomahi is as close as I can come, which is usually why I don't bother saying it, because I know it's not what it's supposed to be. Anyhow, this word translated praying actually specifically means to pray an earnest prayer of supplication and worship. Now, notice that word supplication. This is within the word praying, because you're going to see this word supplication again and again and again in this verse. So it's actually also helping put more of a focus as to what type of prayer it is that you're doing here. It's right in that word prayer, but if you didn't look it up, you wouldn't see it. It's a prayer of earnest supplication, okay? Now, I actually like looking at some of the other versions to see what I might be missing sometimes. And certain ones will just make things clear to me. I actually like looking at the ASV, the American Standard Version, in this verse, because it just puts it away that it's clear to me. And it says, this is the American Standard Version translation. It says, with all prayer and supplication, praying at all seasons in the Spirit, and watching thereunto in all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. So what I particularly like there, it says praying always. The way the ASV says it is praying at all seasons. What that shouts to me when I see it that way is there is never a time that we are to not be doing this. Spring, summer, fall, winter, any given year, it's saying always means at all seasons. There is not a time when you're not to be doing this type of prayer. Okay? So praying always. We've got through two words so far. So you can see there's a little bit in this verse. Okay? So praying always with all prayer, which simply means we know there are many types of prayer. And it's saying here that once you put the armor on, you can be praying all types of prayer. Say, for example, we know there's prayers of intercession, there's prayers of thanksgiving, there's prayers of asking forgiveness and repentance if you need it. Pray all prayers, but it says all prayers and supplication. Back to that word again, okay? It's being enforced that once you put this armor on, one of the main things you're to be doing is praying prayers of supplication. So this is, again, one of those words in the Bible that I don't think in our everyday conversation with anyone other than if we're talking in biblical terms, do we ever use the word supplication? If you were to think about it, it's just not generally part of your normal everyday conversation. So I've found that words like that, often people really don't know what it is they're saying when they say it. And so I love going back and saying, okay, what does that Greek word really mean there? And after looking it up, I could see that I like to call it a working definition. But first I'll share what one of the actual definition in the Greek Bible said. It said it's a prayer of petitioning. So it's a specific type of prayer. Request, supplication. So it uses the actual word in its definition because that is what it's defining. But it's a prayer of petitioning. So a good working definition, if you're looking to say, okay, really what does supplication mean? It means to take a specific request to the one who has both the authority and the ability to grant it. Because if you don't, why bother? Okay? Seriously, if you're taking it to someone who can't do it, you're literally just wasting your time. So there's more to it than just the request or the petitioning. In this case, supplication means to take it to the one who can do something about it. Okay? So that's really what we're talking about when we're talking about a prayer of supplication. So the next thing, it says praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Now, this is critical too. And don't hear me wrong. There are always times when let's say you know something's going on in someone's life and they need prayer in a certain area. Okay? Pray about it. But that's not what it's talking about here. It's talking about praying prayers that you don't even know what to pray. And that's really what praying in the Spirit is. You see, we can give prayers to God based on our knowledge of situations, what's been shared with us. But there are many things that need prayed out that we don't even know about, but God does. So as we're doing these prayers of supplication, taking specific requests to God, pray in the Spirit. Let Him bring up what it is you're supposed to be praying to Him. Because then He'll make sure all the bases are covered. Everything will be taken care of that needs taken care of. You're unable to do that out of your own flesh, mind, whatever. You need the Spirit to be able to show you all you need to be praying about. Okay? So make sure, it seems like that's just thrown in there. And you can just read it and go, yeah, we know that. But it's very important to, during your times of prayer, specifically during this time, because it's right in this passage, it says make sure when you put on this whole armor and you're praying these prayers of supplication that you do it in the Spirit. So that you don't miss something that God wants you praying out over the lives of certain people. And we're going to cover that in a moment because this verse addresses this too. Then it says, and being watchful to this end. Now, if I were to say to you, watch this. Most people would look up and watch. Okay, what's he going to do or what's he looking at? But this word used here, if you go back once again and look in the Greek, means something more than that. It just doesn't mean looking at something. It means do not find yourself sleeping, but be awake and watching. Okay? That's kind of all in this word. So what it's saying is don't be caught sleeping. In other words, there's a time that you're supposed to be awake and doing this. And don't just let this go like you're sleeping. In other words, it's an analogy. Doesn't mean that you don't sleep during the night because you're supposed to be praying. God promises you good sleep, and you need that good sleep during the night so that you can do what He wants you to do during the day. But it's talking about when you're supposed to be awake and watching, you need to be awake and watching. And not walking in a sleepful state, not doing what you're supposed to do. Okay? So that's kind of all in this word, being watchful. And then it says, to this end. So there's something you're supposed to be watching for, and it's going to tell you, being watchful to this end. And here, watchful, as I said, means sleeping, not sleeping, and being awake. If you were to look back at the King James Version, it would say thereunto. Once again, another one of those words that I don't use in my conversation, maybe you do. So I kind of like the New King James Version where it says to this end, because there is an end that you are looking for. In other words, you're doing this with intent, or in other words, with purpose. And that purpose being a desired result or end. Okay? So here's why you're praying in the Spirit, these prayers of supplication. There's an end to what you're doing here. And you need to keep your eye on that end to be praying the way you're supposed to be praying. Because otherwise, if your focus is over here and the end's over here, you're going to miss it. So being watchful to this end. Okay? Next it says, with all perseverance. Now here's a word I think we all know what it means. Perseverance really means to be persistent. It means to never give up. I can think of, I'm a sports fan, so any of you that follow sports would have heard of a gentleman who was the coach of North Carolina State the year that they won the NCAA basketball tournament. And at the time, he had cancer. And he was dying of cancer and would be dead shortly thereafter. He did die of cancer. But he got up and gave a speech, and what his speech was about, so it just sticks in my mind, was never, never give up. He wasn't going to give up. Now, he ultimately died, but he didn't give up in his fight and or the cause. He was trying to raise money for cancer research. And he just says, just because I'm dying, I'm not giving up. Okay? He was going to keep fighting for what he believed he needed to be fighting for. But with this all perseverance, it means that we're not to give up in doing this. In this praying always, with all prayer and supplication, it says never give up. Satan's going to try to get you to give up. That's one of the reasons you put the whole armor on, is so that you don't give up. Okay? So with all perseverance, we need to keep praying. And here's the to this end. We need to keep praying until we know in the Spirit that we have what we prayed for. That's when you can stop praying this prayer of supplication in the Spirit at this time. Now, you will continue later because it says pray at all times. In other words, he'll bring you back to this more than once. In fact, that's what shouts to me. You're going to be doing this all the time if you're doing it the way God's Word says. But as you're praying at a specific time, I think we have a phrase that a lot of people will use. In other words, you pray it through till the end. Don't stop, persevere until you know that you have the desired result in the Spirit. Don't stop. So this is not a once and done prayer. In other words, you just throw something up there and say, oh, I shared it, so I'm done. No, you pray it until you know you have it. Okay? Persevere in these prayers. And then once again, it uses that word in all perseverance and supplication. So this is really the third time it's brought up. Once in the word prayer, supplication earlier, supplication again. It's another way that emphasis is shown. So this is really all about supplication, taking your specific request to God. But now here's what's key. I think a lot of people, when they put on this full armor of God, they think they're doing it for themselves. Well, in a way you are, because it is, once again, so that Satan and those spiritual hosts of wickedness will not negatively impact your prayers. But it tells us here who it is we're to be praying for. It's not for ourselves, at least in this type of prayer. It says specifically, praying always for all the saints. So that's this prayer. It's not for yourself. Now, you can pray for yourself. Trust me, there'll be times. I have a favorite prayer. It's help. I'm serious. I use that one quite often. God knows what I mean because he knows the whole situation. So I just say, help. And he knows I'm talking to him and he knows what I need. So that's one of my favorite prayers. I seem to use it fairly often.
But here it says, the supplications you're doing are for all the saints. So that kind of wraps this section up. Except for what I'd like to do is give you just a few examples. Sometimes I'll talk about something and wonder, okay, did they really get what I was sharing there? When I share out in other nations, and I can think specifically in Africa, in Tanzania, we do this every time I share. We've done it a few times in Sri Lanka, is I will often share, and then someone else will get up and share the same thing, but in their own words and using their own life examples to try to reinforce in the people that are hearing this. And oftentimes they're hearing this for the first time. So we're trying to get it into them, but use some other examples. And we found that those real life examples stick, okay? So I try to use them when I'm sharing, but then in particular, Donna Marabella will do it. Sometimes it's Pastor Pradeep doing it. Just getting up and sharing, okay, what you just heard, here's how it played out in my own life. And God does work and move this way. See, he's the one that set it up like this. I didn't. I often share that if you hear something that I'm saying that you don't like, don't blame me, go to God, because I typically don't share anything that I don't read here, you know, out of his word. So he put this into place, and he put it in place this way because he's the one that set it up to work. So he's behind what he says here. So if you do it the way he says, you will see the results that he expects you to have, and he'll make sure that he backs up his word. It tells us that in his word. So I'd like to give you just a few examples of what supplicating would look like. And to me, as I started thinking, oh, what would I share? The first supplication that I would share is that the prayers of all the other saints not be hindered too. See, you're putting on the whole armor so that your prayers aren't hindered, so that you can pray for the saints. A good starting point would be pray for the saints that their prayers aren't hindered, because they ought to all be praying too, right? So we want their prayers to be effective. In fact, I really like it when your prayers are effective, because I know that as I go out, many of you are praying for me. So I want your prayers to work, is all I will say. On a personal level, okay? I really appreciate the fact that you are praying for me, and I want your prayers to be effective, okay? So that's the first thing that came to mind. We can pray that the prayers of all the saints aren't hindered by Satan, that his attacks will be done away with according to God's word, and they will not be effective, and that the prayers of the saints will effectively reach God, and that he will do what they ask him to do. In other words, they'll continue to persevere. They won't give up. They'll keep supplicating, and they'll see the results that God promises, and they'll get, because he does hear his word, and he does something about our prayers, and does something about it according to his word. The other thing that came to mind is immediately a couple of things that I shared to you from my trip from Tanzania. And what God had me do, when he showed me this teaching, I shared this, you're getting it over about a 6-week period. I shared a similar teaching in much more brevity, much less detail, to people who were hearing about this for the first time, and I shared it in about an hour and a half. Okay? So God has just put a lot more in with it when he's having me share it to you. You're at a place where you're ready to hear it. Oftentimes God will say, well, I could share this, this, and this, and there they would choke on it. In other words, I have to give them what they're able to get. God knows, and he'll tell me, share this and stop there. Okay? Here, I know I can share in this detail because you've heard about this passage before, and God can show you more as he leads me to share more with you. So, there, God showed me from the beginning, in that vision I told you about that I have, and that was praying in this one-room church building, and what I was doing was this prayer of supplication for the saints. I didn't even know it when he first showed me the vision, but later when he showed me this topic that I was going to share there, it then all came together for me. I got excited. I think I shared that with you. It's like, oh, there's why he was showing me that. Because this is what I'm going to be sharing, and this is what I'm going to be doing. I'm going to be in this one-room church supplicating for the saints. Why? Because they're out sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ in this whole village area. And then it says in this verse that we looked at, praying in the Spirit. And I can tell you that within 5 minutes of starting praying, the Spirit said, pray this. And I prayed Galatians 6:9. Don't let them get tired while they're out there doing it. Because if they don't get tired, they're going to see great results. That's the paraphrase of what Galatians 6:9 says. Okay? And then I also prayed. Maybe 15 minutes later, he goes, pray that when they lay hands on the sick, they will recover. Okay? That there's going to be miracles and signs out there that the people that see them are not going to be able to deny that this was me. And I prayed that for a considerable time. And he just led me from one thing to another, bringing these supplications to God. And the key here is, really all you're doing is praying the truths of God that you find in God's word over the saints. You can't go wrong. If you've got it in God's word, and the Spirit leads you to pray this, just pray it. It's the one way you can be sure you're praying according to his will. You can't go wrong if you're praying his word back to him. And that's really all he had me do. And then to hear the results as people came back, saying we walked for 45 minutes until we even got to the first building, to the first little hut. And then we walked in and shared the gospel, and 7 people got saved. All of them. And then another group says, well, we went into this house, and we couldn't even hear the one person in there because he couldn't get up and come to the door. He was laying down and had been deathly sick for days. And we went in, and we didn't start sharing the gospel. We just laid hands on him, prayed for him, and he got up and started shouting and had to call his whole household in who wasn't there, and so that we could share the gospel of Jesus Christ with the whole household, and they all got saved. So it wasn't just the one. So he will back up his word, okay? But you pray it out in the Spirit as he leads you to. You will see amazing results. There's that amazing God again. I was so excited when I was there because I'm going, well, I prayed that, and this happened, and I prayed this. It wasn't me. God led me to pray it, and he did it. But it was exciting that I got to be just this little part of it. I just did my part, praying and persevering. And I prayed for hours. It didn't seem like it. When you're doing what God wants you to do, it doesn't seem like really hard work. I was actually excited that he was leading me through this. But I knew my part because he'd showed me this in advance. It was even excited me more. I knew I was supposed to be there doing what he had me doing. And we're going to make a connection to this later as we go on, either next week or the week after, because there's a tie-in to that as well. But those are just a few recollections that I have recently and that you can pray. I want to share one last thing before we leave this passage, and it's found in verse 19. And I kind of mentioned this a little bit earlier, because this is where Paul says, and for me, that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. So when I read that, I go, okay, I'm not Paul, but he is giving me the opportunity to go out there and share his gospel. And so if any of you are wondering what petition, what supplication you can take to God for me as God leads you to pray whenever I'm out, wherever I'm at, pray this one. I would love you to have you praying this one over me. Paul said, do this for me. I'm saying, do this one for me too. On a personal level, if you want to know what to supplicate for me while I'm gone, pray this one. Okay? There's actually another one too. If you were to look at, I'm not even going to read it. If you want to jot it down, Philippians 1:19 would give you another good one to be praying over me. Because what it talks about there is that he will protect me while I'm out doing what he wants me to do and keep me from any potential hazard that may come my way. So that's a good one too. Because there are some occasional hazards when I'm out there. And so these are just a couple supplications that I'm so appreciative that you are praying, but if you get to a point and go, what should I pray? Well, here's a couple good starting points is all I will say. And then allow the Spirit just to lead you to others. He will do that, okay? So now at this point in time, we've kind of wrapped up going through the passage on the full armor of God. And I'm not saying that we're going to something else. I'm actually going to say that we're doing a continuation of what I started doing from the beginning. When I went to God about, Pastor Bill actually came to me and he said, okay, I'd like you to share for a series, okay? And he said, on whatever God gives you to share. Well, I can tell you the first word that came to me within 24 hours was, you're to be sharing on joy, okay? Now, how many of you would associate joy with putting on the whole armor of God? I wouldn't have until God led me through this. But if you remember back in one of the first weeks that we started into this, Ephesians 6:10 said, can you remember it? Ephesians 6:10. Anyone start it out? It says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord. And right there, we started into joy. Because how are we strong in the Lord? Nehemiah 8:10 says, the joy of the Lord is my strength. So though joy is not used there, it's right there, right at the very beginning. And there's a reason it's at the beginning. I think a lot of people, if they think about getting ready for battle, they're not thinking about doing it in joy. He's saying the starting point here, start in joy. Okay? Then we continued on and we got down to verses 14 through 17 when we actually were putting on the whole armor of God, and we can see clearly that who we're really putting on. It's not so much a what, it's a who. We're putting on Jesus, who is our righteousness. He is our peace. He is our salvation. He is the truth. So that as we're doing this, we should be in full awareness that he is there with us. Okay? As we're doing, putting on this armor of God. And what does Psalm 16:11 say? For in his presence is fullness of joy. So we've really been talking about a joyful situation the whole time. So we're not going necessarily from one subject to another. We're just doing a continuation, okay? Because now I want to talk a little bit more specifically about what the Bible has to say about joy. So it's not something different. We're just continuing on, and we're actually going to look more carefully, closely at joy, okay? Now, I think if you were to remember back when I started this, I mentioned a couple of books, and we're going to look briefly at one of them today and what it says. Even as I was starting this, I started thinking, okay, why would God want someone to spend so much time talking about joy? Why wouldn't we be talking about, let's say, discipleship, the importance of it, or doctrines? And God just showed me right away, he said, look up how many times joy and joyfulness and rejoicing is used in the Bible. See, doctrine is simply teaching. In this case, doctrine of God is teaching from the Word of God. And this doctrine is talked about, joy is talked about more than 250 times in the Bible. So it must be important to God, or else he wouldn't bring it up over 250 times. Okay, so really we are talking about doctrine when we're talking about God. He's saying, this is something you need to know about, and here's what I have to say about it. So learn this, and learn it this way. Don't learn it the way the world says it is. Learn it the way I say it is. Okay, and that's what we're going to go into today. Start into, barely. I think all of next week we'll be covering specifically joy too. Also, I mentioned discipleship. And in discipleship, really what's meant behind that, I took 1 year of Latin in eighth grade, mainly because in high school I attended back at that time, you were not allowed to take any other language but Latin in eighth grade. And if you wanted to do that, you could. And I thought, well, this will be fun. It really wasn't. I didn't really care for it because no one uses it. Now, you might, if you were maybe into some medical sciences, it might help you out a little bit because there are some words that their basis is from the Latin language. But even as I was preparing this, I thought of every day when we would start school, the teacher would say, salve discipuli, meaning student, the one who is there to learn. We would say salvete magister, greeting the teacher, okay? So this discipuli or disciple is one who is there to learn the truth from the master. And we're getting the truth from the master in his word, okay? But there's even more in this word disciple if you look at it the way the Bible's bringing it out. It's not just knowing the truth, it's walking it out in the same way that the master does. Just knowing it is not enough. Because only then are you a disciplined follower. You have to do it the way he does it once you heard it slash learned it. Because I would pose that you really didn't learn it if you're not walking it out. Because if it's something that God wants you to do, and now you know it, it's only head knowledge, you really didn't get it. Because if you got it, you'd be living it. Because it's God's best for you. Okay? So if you're not walking it out, I would pose, go back and look at it some more because you don't have it yet. And I can only say that I do it based on my own life. There are things that God will give me, and I could share it with anybody. And they would get it, and they would start living it. And I go, huh, that's pretty amazing. I'm not even living that yet. I know. I mean, God will still be talking to me about it, and I'll share it with someone. I think of one person in particular, and I've mentioned his name before. If you tell Kevin Burrows this is God, just say that. He says, okay, and he starts living it immediately. And I'm going, I go back to God and go, is this really it? Is there more? If you'll verify this, and maybe a year later, I'm walking it out. So I'm telling on myself a bit. I really like someone like Kevin who goes, that's God, I'm doing it. It's that simple. And actually what I found is as I go to the world, I find that a lot in the people that are hearing the word of God the first time. When I get to share with these different tribes in Africa, they go, that's God. And they instantly change their lives and start doing it. No questions asked. It's not like they have to take time and say, God, explain this to me more. And if I understand it fully and then know it's you, they go, that's God, I'm doing it. It's that simple. So I love seeing that in the lives of the people that I share this with. So we really are talking about doctrine and about becoming a disciplined follower. This is part of being a disciplined follower, and that is walking in joy. So let's look at, we're only going to lay a basis for next week's teaching today. And I mentioned very early on that I was going to look at a book, mention it to you, called The Surprising Power of Joy by Roland Wharton. I think you had said that you had read it. And what I will say is God has never, in any time that he's had me share anywhere, teach based on a book that I've read. Okay? But what he will do is have me read a book, and it shows me some things that I may or may not have seen before, and then I go back to the word and say, now what does God's word have to say about this? So I don't just read a book to read a book. I don't want to know what some person's saying to me. I want to see, what does God's word really say that? So that's what we're going to do here. Now, I will tell you that he, in his book, does say something that I knew to be true the moment I read it, and he said it in such a way that it was better than I could think of saying it. So I'm going to quote this to you and have you write it down. I'm going to quote it first, and then I'm going to say it for those of you slowly so that you can write down each part, because we're going to look at each part next week as we go down through this. So first of all, in his book, The Surprising Power of Joy, Wharton explains happiness this way. So now this is happiness. This is not joy. He says, happiness can be defined as an emotion driven by or dependent upon the expectations of external circumstances, and those being fulfilled. That's happiness. I like the way Noah Webster's dictionary puts it, and I will say it's done in a similar fashion. He defines it as this: it's the agreeable sensations which spring from the enjoyment of good, the state of being in which desires are gratified by the enjoyment of pleasures without pain. So once again, it kind of goes back to the situation and circumstance. Are you being pleased with what's happening in your life? What's interesting is Noah Webster ends his definition of happiness. Now remember, this is happiness, not joy. He ends with this. He says, perfect happiness or pleasure unalloyed with pain is not attainable in this life. That was Noah Webster back in 1828 in the original Bible or original dictionary that he put out. It's happiness is really not ever totally attainable in this life, ever. Because whatever you're in, there's still something going on that takes away from it. Happiness is not something that is perfect, unlike joy. Joy is perfect because it comes from the Lord, okay? Happiness is not. It's based on situations and circumstances, and those are constantly changing. You can be happy one minute and not happy the next minute. I know because it happens to me, okay? Based on what you're going through. But that doesn't change the joy that you have and that you should be walking in when those situations aren't quite the way you would want them to be. So joy never has to change. But to me, it just brought something to mind that really all those who are out there seeking happiness, they're not going to find it. They can't find it. Literally, by the definition, you will never find it. But you can find perfect joy in God. Okay? So now, here's what I'm going to have you write down. And we'll see if we can get this in. We might close 5 minutes late today. Hopefully you'll give me grace and mercy, because I want to get this week so that you can be thinking about it. Let God run this through you, and we're going to go into it in detail next week. So this is now Wharton's definition of what joy is. As I said, we're going to go back to the Bible on each part of this. So I'm going to read it to you as a whole first, and then go back to it phrase by phrase, so those of you that are writing it down can write it down, because we're going to look at it phrase by phrase. So this is what he says. Joy, however, dives a little deeper. Now, I will add here, I think you shouldn't have said a little deeper. It dives a lot deeper. Okay, that's just me as I was reading. No, it doesn't dive a little deeper. It dives a lot deeper. Okay, and this is what it says. Joy is the fruit of the life of God working inside us as we align and cooperate with His will for our lives, loving what He loves, and becoming more like Him. Joy for the Christian has its source from God, is everlasting, functions regardless of circumstances, and is not dependent upon mood or outcome. So now that's quite a mouthful, but it's all true. So I'm going to give you each one of these because we're going to go back and look at each phrase based on what the Word of God says. And see how he can make a statement like this, because it is truth. I read it and go, yep, that's it. I know it in the spirit. How does God's word say this? What does he say? I'm not looking to, how would I put this? I'm not looking to take something that someone says and say, yeah, that's true. I want to go back and say, yeah, this is true because of what the Bible says. It's actually the other way around, okay? But I'm using this as a point because God showed me. Use this to show them what my word has to say about it. So I will tell you that as he did that, he had me share one thing out of order, because he showed me there's one thing, place where you should start. So I'm moving one thing in the sentence that he gave. And the very first thing would have been literally the fifth thing in that list that I read to you. But it's going to be first, and then all the rest will be in order. So the first thing I'd like you to write down is joy for the Christian has its source from God. First thing, joy for the Christian has its source from God. Joy is the fruit of the life of God working inside us. That's number two. Joy is the fruit of the life of God working inside us. This is very important. It is done so as we align and cooperate with His will for our lives. Very important. As we align and cooperate with His will for our lives. Number four. Loving what He loves and becoming more like Him. Loving what He loves and becoming more like Him. Number five. This one's short, so you won't have to write fast. Joy is everlasting. Everlasting joy. 6. Functions, meaning it works, is present, doing what it says it will do, regardless of circumstances. Circumstances don't affect how joy works. Joy works regardless of circumstances. And last, number 7, joy is not dependent on your mood or whatever the outcome is that you see. It is not dependent upon mood or outcome. Now, next week, we're going to go into, as I said, and look down through each one of these. We'll see how far we get. It just depends on how much God gives me this week. I enjoy this each week, usually Tuesday through Thursday. I just go, okay, God, what do you have for your church this week? And so I'm always excited to see what he's going to share with me is me getting to share it with you. Because really right now I don't know what he's going to have me share. So part of my joy each week is going in, what do you got for him this week, God? And that excites me. I can't wait to see what God has. But I know he's going to lay this out as to what I should share with you. So I thank God for his word today. Let's close in prayer. Father God, we do thank you for your word. It is truth. And it works in our lives the way you say it's going to work because you set it up that way. We just thank you that you are there with us all the time. We look forward to all that you're going to do working in us and through us. And we give you all the glory. In Jesus' name, amen.